Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Let's start this week's podcast talking about cryptocurrencies. Wall Street investors love to chase every shiny object of the month, and in the last few weeks, the spotlight has been on Bitcoin. Bitcoin, or as I affectionately call it, Bitcoin, or cover those children's ears, shitcoin, soared above 69,000 last week. In just 8 days, the cryptocurrency jumped by $17,000 per unit, which means it was up by 8 times more than an ounce of gold is worth in a little over a week. Now, I believe cryptocurrencies, all of them, some more than others, but all of them, are glorified barcodes. There is nothing whatsoever unique about digital numbers and letters. Cryptos only have value inside the construct of a blockchain, which supposedly allows the users to make transactions that are anonymous, immutable, and decentralized. However, what is boosting Bitcoin's value currently is Wall Street's push to make it more accessible. You can now own them in ETFs, and that has caused the public to pile in and sent the cost of crypto soaring. Nevertheless, and ironically, once an investor gains access to a Bitcoin through a bank-sponsored entity, the owner relinquishes all the properties of Bitcoin that made it valuable in the first place. Banking regulations require, like know your customer and anti-money laundering laws, require your ID to be known and verified. So if your ownership of cryptos are completely centralized, hence their utility, the very thing that makes an electronic number valuable, a private key valuable, is the fact that you are anonymous. You can use this mechanism to transact on the internet, on the dark web, and be unknown and do illicit things, if that's what you want to do. But everybody knows what Bitcoin is yours and who you are. Therefore, since there is nothing at all rare about electronic numbers and letters, and blockchains are a dime a dozen, there is no way a unit of Bitcoin can sustain a level of 67,000 per unit outside of a bubble. And their true value is closer to $1,000, in my opinion, as the utility of cryptos is only realized when the ownership and transaction of such are 100% anonymous and not co-opted by Wall Street. But even though bubbles have a life of their own, they always, always, always eventually burst. And we will continue to stay away from this asset class. Back to our immediate concern, which is the economy and markets. I understand the mainstream financial media is trying desperately to convince you, the investor, that the consumer is strong and sitting on piles of cash that allows them to travel the world with reckless abandon. However, the facts differ. Here are some year-over-year changes in sales from some very popular hotel chains. Hilton Worldwide, down 3.56%. Marriott, down 11.57%. Choice Hotels, down 13.73%. And Hyatt, down 21.47%. The industry's median decline, according to Bloomberg, has hotel sales down 10.56% year over year. More data. Pending home sales fell 4.9% in January from the previous month. It was the biggest drop in 5 months, and mortgage purchase applications dropped to a level that was the same as 1995. The ISM manufacturing survey for February came out, and it was a big dud. The index dropped further into contractionary territory from 49.1 to 47.8, and the subcomponents of employment and new orders are both in contraction, with employment contracting at a faster rate and new orders slipping from expansion to contraction. And the manufacturing sector of the economy fell for the 16th month in a row. So much for this manufacturing renaissance that you hear about. That is the truth. So please keep in mind when you hear about this renaissance, that it's just Wall Street babble. It's garrulous speech. The only thing stocks care about right now is liquidity. The bad manufacturing data coupled with the plunge in construction spending from 1.1% in December to minus 0.2% in January sent the Atlanta Fed GDP nowcast model to fall from 3 to 2.1%. Then we had the ISM non-manufacturing or service sector report out yesterday. The headline index fell from 53.4 to 52.6, disappointing all expectations. And the employment subcomponent fell into contraction, dropping to 48, meaning that both sectors of the economy, manufacturing and service sector, both showed that the employment picture is one of layoffs, not net hiring, layoffs. But Wall Street loves a weak economy, and they love layoffs too, as long as they can still pretend earnings won't be negatively affected. A weak economy means the Fed will probably offer the bankster gamblers more money printing and more interest rate manipulations. Yippee! I mean, who cares about jobs for the middle class and the health of the country? But wait. Wall Street will finally wake up once the concept of slower growth metastasizes into a recession. Then earnings plunge and the gamblers' money gets shut off. And the recession and plunge in earnings will be especially acute this time around because quantitative easing and ZERP and helicopter money may not bring the salve of lower long-term interest rates because of that stubbornly high inflation condition the Fed has yet to resolve. You know, during times like this, especially during times like this, I am very reliant, very thankful that I created the inflation, deflation, and economic cycle model, which has kept me from shorting the market based on the current egregiously bad fundamentals in the U.S. I mean, my emotions say, oh my God, the debt and the asset bubbles, blah, blah, blah. I got to short this market. That's why a lot of my money is in the IDEC model and strategy. I developed it because I wanted to invest in the market to ride bubbles higher, but to get out of harm's way when they crash. I mean, who wants to have a 1989 Japan situation where you have to wait 35 years to get even? I don't want that. I can't have that in my life. And I won't. God willing, I never will, and neither will my clients. Now, Wall Street is based on insider information. The CEOs, some of whom have been dumping stocks like mad recently, understand when it's time to get out. Most of the time, that's the case. And then most of them, they exit the danger and then they tell their closest friends who manage trillions of dollars just how bad the situation really is. And they all rush for the nearest emergency exit. First, they short the market, I'm sure. And then they rush for the emergency exit after they tell their big boys it's time to get out. The last to know is the CNBS gazers and the public who usually sell the bottom. My model is designed to pick up on the early warning signals of that shorting to detect when the handful of people who actually run the global economy are getting nervous and ready to make money when the market collapses. We front run most of the institutions and the mainstream financial media, public, CNBS gazers. The business cycle is all about the second derivative of growth and inflation. If you can predict and monitor that correctly, you can ride bull markets higher while also being able to short bubble tops. Not perfectly, not to the second, but not losing 30, 40, 50% of your retirement funds. Actually saving yourself that heartache and maybe even making money by raising cash, buying the right kind of bonds and the right type, right side of the yield curve. Shorting the market too. Those are all wonderful ways you could actually make money when things collapse. Now, I want to close with some comments on gold. The precious metal just hit an all-time record high. And you didn't hear, you didn't hear much about it in the mainstream financial media. It was like, gold hit a record high. But who cares? Because we don't get paid by saying that. They continue to be myopically focused on Bitcoin because that's where the ad dollars come from. We at Pentaport have an 11% position in gold in the miners. What I find most interesting is that gold hit this milestone, all-time record high, while the economy is supposedly at full employment in a soft economic landing scenario, and while nominal and real rates have soared. Just imagine what it will do once the recession ensues and both real and nominal interest rates plunge. Oh, and especially when D.C., the District of Columbia, is finally successful in killing the confidence in the U.S. dollar and our sovereign debt market, which they're well on the way of doing. I mean, gold should trade like NVIDIA on steroids, like some internet stock in 1999. That's what gold stocks should be doing. Gold, unlike a cryptocurrency, is indeed, in fact, extremely rare. Numbers are not rare. Letters are not rare. AU is rare and virtually indestructible. It is a beautiful and unique store of wealth, and therein lies its value. Stay tuned. Things are just beginning to get interesting on many fronts.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com. or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.